Tonight we continue our study in the parables of Jesus. We've been looking at the parables for the last several weeks. My simple definition of a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Actually, it means to place alongside of, with the view of comparing. So there were times when Jesus taught his apostles and taught others by using this method of teaching. It was a story type of message, the subjects of which and the objects that were used were things that were about them. The parable of the sower. And you people could see a sower out in the field. And other parables, the parable of the hidden treasure that we'll be looking at tonight. And the parable of the precious pearl. Throughout Jesus' ministry, and even prior to his ministry, the kingdom was announced. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is at hand. Throughout the Old Testament, it had been prophesied, so it was expected. And yet, not many had any clue, really, as to what the kingdom was to be like. There was one who was to come, who would sit on the throne of David. And what people saw in their mind's eye was someone sitting on a physical throne on the earth and establishing an earthly kingdom, and especially if it happened during the time of the first century, that would overthrow the Roman government and would put the Jews back in power. And so Jesus said that concerning the kingdom, that it was at hand. John the Baptist had previously stated that. In the Sermon on the Mount that we're studying on Sunday morning in our adult class, we're seeing that Jesus is talking about the attitudes that should be that of those who are in the kingdom. So we're talking about who will be in the kingdom and what will they be like. And in these parables, many of the parables began with the kingdom of heaven is like unto, and then gives the description. So tonight, turn with me, please, to Matthew 13. We'll be looking at chapter 13 of Matthew. One of the parables, the parable of the hidden treasure, is in verse 44. The parable of the precious pearl is in verses 45 and 46 of the same chapter. And the lesson we'll be looking at is the lesson of true values. What is there that is of true value to us? Where are we to look for true value? Let's look at verse 44. Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure that's hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Now, we mentioned this morning some in our adult class about what the treasures were of the people back at that time. For the most part, their clothing was valued highly, and silver and gold metals were valued very highly. And we found out from Matthew 6 and verse 19 that you had to be careful about your treasures on earth because the thieves could easily break through and steal because of the way the houses were made. If you had a lock on your door, people would be able to knock in the side of the house because they weren't built of brick. They weren't that sturdy, and individuals could get into the house. The common practice back at that time, I'm told by historians, was to bury valuables. I mean, if they weren't in the house, no one was going to find them. So they buried these valuables. And we even know, those of us who read of the West, the Old West, and I find this in a lot of the Louis L'Amour Western books. He talks of people who have money, ill-gotten gain many times, but they go out and bury it so nobody can find it. Many times the banks weren't even considered safe. And so there was no place back in the first century, not a place that was really that safe or valuable. So many people went out and buried their valuables. So it was common practice. In fact, look at Matthew chapter 25. Let's see the parable of the talents, beginning with verse 14. kingdom of heaven is as, this is a parable too. The kingdom of heaven is as, or like a man traveling into a far country, called his servants, delivered them his goods. Now to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, another he gave 1. The manager here was going away from his home, and when he came back, he wanted to see what these individuals had done with what had been entrusted with them. Well, the one that had the 5, he obtained 5 more. The one that had the 2 obtained 2 more talents. But verse 18 tells us about the individual who had the 1 talent. But he that received the 1 went and digged in the earth. He didn't go put it in a bank. He didn't go and, you know, and had to hide it under his mattress. He didn't put it in a sock like my daddy did. Put it in the couch. But this individual went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So we have a situation where back in the first century it wasn't unusual that someone could find something that had been buried. And it appears that this treasure that is found by this individual was found accidentally. He really wasn't looking for a treasure. I don't know what he was doing out there digging, but maybe he had his Geiger counter running across. They didn't have Geiger counters back then, but was somehow and some other what reason he found this treasure. Accidentally, it appears. Then some say, well, he found this in somebody else's field. Because if we get back to Matthew 13, it says he found this in a field, and then he was filled with great joy, and he sold everything he had, and he went and bought this other fellow's field. Someone else owned the property in which he had found this treasure. And today we might say, well, now hold on a minute. That's not moral. That's not legal to do that. Well, according to our system, I think it probably would be illegal if somebody found out about it. But the Jewish law at that time, I'm told, that anything found belonged to the finder. Anything found belonged to the finder. To ensure that, he went out and bought the property. So the property was his. It's not a moral problem here. It's not us asking a question, well, why would Jesus teach such a thing? Well, there was nothing against the law as far as this individual was concerned in finding this and in keeping it. But the main object or meaning of this particular parable needs to be kept in mind anyway. The main object is the finding of a treasure and the willingness to part with anything and everything in order to get it, in order to secure it. And keep in mind that the parable began with the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field. So here's a parable that says a man found this treasure, went and sold everything he had, and he bought the field of the man who owned the field where the treasure was. He wanted that treasure so much, he was willing to give up everything. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like that. The kingdom of heaven is like that. It says when the kingdom comes, people will need to give up everything. It'll be so treasured. It'll be of such value that an individual will be willing to give up everything in order to secure his place in the kingdom. So here's something of great value that this man found, this treasure. He was willing to give up anything for it because he held it in high value. He put a high value on it. It was high in his mind as far as his desire to have it. And therefore, he was willing to depart with anything. He was willing to depart with everything to secure the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says that's what's necessary for us. We'll look at 3 lessons, possible applications for us. And we'll tie those into, number one, the treasure, the sacrifice, and the joy. The treasure, the kingdom is of great value. Let's look at Matthew 16, verse 24. I'd like to look at other verses that help to where Jesus is teaching a similar lesson. or maybe is expounding on it where we're able to see it in another situation. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He said there's something that is so valuable that you need to give up everything in order to obtain it. That's the salvation of our souls. And Jesus says, if you're coming to me, talking to his disciples, his followers, you need to deny self. Deny self. He's not really talking about denying something for self, but just denying self, setting self aside. Deny self and take up his cross and follow me. Because he's saying you have a life that if it's to be saved, will have to be lost in a way. But if you lose your life for my sake, you give up what you presently are doing, that which you consider now valuable, for that which I consider valuable, which is valuable eternally. Then he said, that's where the great profit is. And that's for the salvation of your soul. The second thing that we see in this particular parable is the sacrifice. This individual was willing to pay the price. He could have looked at that treasure and said, well, you know, I've got something that's more valuable than that. I'll just keep what I have. But what he saw in that treasure was something more valuable than anything he had. And he was willing to sell everything he had in order to purchase the property, in order to have that particular treasure. It was of such great value. He was willing to sacrifice it. Notice the great sacrifice. Let's look at Isaiah 53. The great sacrifice that Jesus made, we're to follow in his steps. The great sacrifice he made according to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. What a great sacrifice Jesus gave. He gave that sacrifice upon the cross, sacrificed his life for us, died the death that he did for us. But what about the joy? You notice this man in Matthew 13, in verse 44, says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field, which when a man found it, he hideth it, and for joy thereof. I mean, this wasn't something he was begrudgingly doing. This wasn't something that he felt like he had to do or else. This was something that he had great joy in doing. He wanted to do it. His desire was to do what he was doing, to get rid of everything, rid himself of everything in order to secure this treasure. Doesn't say what the treasure was, but of course we make the application when we go over into the spiritual lesson. In the book of Philippians, look at book of Philippians chapter 3. I think we see in the life of the Apostle Paul, as we see the contrast or comparison between his life before becoming a Christian and his life after becoming a Christian. We'll begin all the way back to verse 1, although really what we're looking for is down in about verse 7, but we'll get the context and background. Finally, my brethren, Philippians 3:1, Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, troublemakers. Look out for these evil workers, look out for them. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, Paul says, you know, in other places, says, bear with me. He says there are a lot of people that are false teachers, and they're letting you know how great they are. He says, well, I got a lot of things that I could list if you wanted my resume. And so Paul then says, I was circumcised the eighth day. He's born a Jew. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, is touching the law, a Pharisee. I was right up there at the top. Concerning zeal, I had zeal. I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. He said, I found a treasure. When Jesus appeared to me, I found a treasure. And I went after that treasure. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So Paul is saying, look back on my former life. You know, Paul could not have done what he did, what he was doing in Acts chapter 9 as he was on the road to Damascus. He could not have been on that road and marching as he was marching, likely with others with him, as without some financial backing. So he was a man held in high esteem. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Roman citizen, as he later makes known to the Romans when they have him over in the latter part of the book of Acts. So here is a man who was highly thought of in the Jewish religion. And yet he said, I found a treasure. I found a treasure in Christ. I found a treasure in the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I gave up all I had. I sold it, so to speak, so I could achieve the knowledge of Christ and the great treasure of the kingdom. So Paul gave up all that prestige to become a missionary for the Gentiles, for Christ. Now let's look at the next parable, somewhat similar but a little bit different, down in verses 44 and 45 of Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. That's not like the pearl. Talk about a pearl. It's like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, or I think one translation probably says precious pearls. Who, that is the merchant man, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went out and sold all that he had and bought it. So again, this is one of those parables that starts out with the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven is like unto. In the first century, these pearls were of great value. Diamonds are a girl's best friend, is what somebody said. Over time, it's caused folks to have to buy diamonds now instead of pearls, I guess. Pearls are still looked upon by many women as something to be desired. But it said that the Oriental mind especially was enamored by the pearl. So the pearl had a high value. If we were to use the currency that they had, it would be, I don't know what currency it was, but in our dollar and cents, it was considered of high value. It said that Cleopatra had two pearls worth $400,000 each. If they were worth $400,000 each back at that time, you can imagine the value of those pearls today. So pearls had a fascination for them, and the pearl merchants looked far and wide for a new pearl or a perfect pearl or a particular type of pearl. And he was willing to give up everything he had in order to get that pearl. Now, this individual, unlike the man who found the treasure, he didn't accidentally stumble upon a pearl, but he was looking for one. He looked for it and he found it. And there are individuals like that today who are looking for the church, who are looking for this treasure. What is it about this pearl merchant that is worthy of our imitation? Let's look at this man. First of all, he had a definite purpose. He had a definite purpose. The man knew where he was going, and he knew what he was looking for. He had a sense of direction. He had a sense of destination. What about a lot of people today? What's a problem that people have in general? I think many people have difficulty because they have no purpose, no definite purpose, no goals in mind, nothing out there. As the Apostle Paul said, he pressed on to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, in Philippians 3. And some folks don't have that goal, and that brings on many problems for them. They wander aimlessly. We see that happen with young people. We see that happen even as we grow older. So this man, we could imitate him as far as the fact that he was a man with a definite purpose. His purpose was to achieve that which was the best. He wasn't satisfied with that which was second best. He had some pearls. He had some that may have been somewhat like the one he was looking for, but it was not. It was not. He saw the importance of securing the one that he had found. But not only this man was a man of definite purpose, he was a man of the highest purpose. So it's not just that we should have a purpose in life. It's that we should have a high purpose in life. There are many people that have a purpose in life. Some people's purpose is to make money, to build great big houses. This man's purpose was to find that which was the best. And Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto that merchant man. That is, if you want to think about the kingdom of heaven, think about this merchant man. Think about the type of individual he was. He was a man who had a definite purpose. He was a man who had the highest purpose. What's the highest purpose as a Christian? Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, as he talked about the various things that God could supply and would supply to us, but he said to us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. So there's a sense of priority in this merchant's life, isn't it? He's not got a list of 100 things to do over here. He's got a list, and it's to find the best of the pearls. And Jesus is saying, as individuals who search for Christ, that's what we need to be searching for. We need to be searching for the kingdom and finding the kingdom, because therein lies the greatest treasure. It goes beyond the temporary of this life to the permanency of eternal life. This man was in search of the best, not that which was second best. He would only be content when he found that which was priceless, that which could not be matched. So his greatest object in life, as ours should be, is the kingdom of heaven, making the spiritual application. Also, here was a man willing to pay the necessary price for the perfect pearl. You know, there are many people that want to become a Christian, but they want to wait later in life. It's thought that, well, you know, I can't live the life that Christ would want me to live. Wait till I get a little bit older. Well, that kind of, in a way, the fellow that thinks that out, that kind of cheapens Christianity. Wait until I don't have too much time to serve God, and then I will serve God. Wait until I get everything straight in my life. Well, people that have said that are still waiting. But this man wasted no time in going after the very best. There was no procrastination, as sometimes people are prone to do, putting things off. In Philippians 1, 9, and 10, as part of Paul's prayer for the church at Philippi, he said, "In this I pray, that you may prove the things which are excellent, that they might be sincere, they might be blameless or without blame." And so he wanted them to be able to prove things that are excellent. That's what this merchantman was doing. He was looking after that which was best. He was not going to give up with what was second best. He was going to keep looking. And the pearl that he finally and ultimately found was the object of his life, what he had always been looking for. So the parable teaches setting proper priorities, putting first things first. How are we at putting first things first? Studying God's Word, our prayers, encouraging fellow Christians. There are a lot of folks that need telephone calls for encouragement, maybe visits for those of you who've known them for a long time. And I hear some of your names mentioned as I visit some of those who are sick. And those visits are very much, and those telephone calls are very much appreciated. And they do a great good, not only for the person receiving the benefit of that call. Actually, benefit is received by the receiver and the one making the call also. So let's summarize what we've said. As we look at these two parables, kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in the field. Kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. We see that true value comes at a great price, a great cost. And a lot of times we might see young people or someone become a Christian that maybe as a lark. I've seen people back in the days when we had the tent meetings, and a lot of young people would come forward at the same time. A lot of times people would look back on that time and wonder whether they were really knew what they were doing, or doing it because it seemed to be the thing to do. That's something they had to think out. So the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field. To be in the kingdom is worth everything and every effort that can be made. To be in the kingdom will require sacrifice and self-denial to follow the example of Christ. That's what Jesus says. If I find myself living through life and calling myself a Christian, and there is no sacrifice, there is no self-denial, then I need to start reading my Bible better. Perhaps I've missed something. To be in this kingdom requires giving up the past life for something better. When we became a Christian, all things were passed away, and behold, the Bible says, all things are made new. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. To be in the kingdom of heaven is to have purpose and have direction in our lives. To be in the kingdom of heaven is to live with the highest purpose. Nothing secondary should satisfy. To be in the kingdom of heaven is to be willing to pay the price and give our bodies as a living sacrifice, as Paul said to the church at Rome in Romans 12. So two more parables of Jesus. Parables that would be easily remembered by his apostles later as they would be teaching the gospel and preaching the gospel and encouraging other people. Parables that are still interesting and still have much to tell us today. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus made those comparisons. He started with where the people were, and he says, well, the kingdom of heaven is like. And he'd point over there. It's like that. Tonight, the invitation of the Lord is extended to each one here. There's one here who's not a Christian. Why not come to Christ tonight? Why not come confessing Jesus as the Son of God, willing to repent of your sins, to be baptized for the forgiveness of sin, as the Bible states. If as a Christian you desire prayers on your behalf or wish to rededicate your life to Christ, would you come as we stand, as we sing?